spoilers, all kinds of fucking spoilers coming.
Right.
We gave you time. We're going to talk about it. Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 56, and we are jumping off of
Johnny Cash's Logan.
Which it is more fitting than I actually realized when I said it, because the director also directed his first big movie was Walk the Line,
yeah.
Which I didn't realize when I made that.
I didn't either, actually.
But putting those two together really makes sense
when
you view the two movies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the heaviest superhero movie probably ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the rare film that gets to kill off beloved characters, but does it in such a right way that you're not mad about it?
Right.
You know, a lot of times, for one, these superhero movies never kill off big characters.
Yeah.
You know, they will change actors, but they never kill them off.
Right.
Because it does. It puts you in a storyline box that now you can't just bring them back.
But, I mean, X3 killed everybody off. But
right.
But in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Because this was not an, you know, for Logan, it was an action-based kill. But it was still, spoilers, all kinds of fucking spoilers coming.
Right.
We gave you time. We're going to talk about it. It was an action-based kill, but it was still rooted in, it wouldn't have been fatal had he still been young.
Right. Right. And that's it. I mean, Logan essentially died of something that he would have healed from immediately, you know, in previous movies.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings up all sorts of interesting questions about mutants and, you know, something... I'm sure the comics have touched on at some point, but the movies have never really discussed, which is what happens to them as they get older.
Right.
You know, do those...
Well, and they really jumped into that with Professor X and his dementia.
Right.
And his fits, basically. His seizures, which when you're a telepathic mind altering mutant, and you have a seizure, it just wreaks all this havoc, and apparently it killed most of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Which is alluded to throughout the movie, but
But they didn't really go into it.
They don't really go into what happened at the school in Rochester.
Right.
So they basically say it happened at Professor X's school.
Right.
The X Academy or whatever it's called.
Xavier's School for Gifted Children.
Yeah, yes, yeah. That is what it's called, yes. Yeah. It went down. He had basically had an attack at the school and wiped out a whole shitload. You know,
right.
Anybody that was there.
Well, yeah. And I mean, but think about it. For God's sakes, had he been hooked up to Cerebro when that happened, he could have wiped out the planet.
Right. And he may have been.
He might have been. Yeah, that's very true.
Because, you know, it's been, it was alluded to that, you know, there were no new mutants coming up, that could be in reference to, there was a Marvel event where Scarlet Witch basically stripped most of the mutants of their power, and there were no new mutants. So they really couldn't allude to that directly. Because Marvel and Fox still are... Well, they did it with freaking Quicksilver.
Yeah.
They can use Scarlet Witch, but Scarlet Witch is an Avenger at this point.
Right.
So, there would be stepping of toes.
Right. To me, this is Fox's best superhero movie.
And I love the direction they've been going lately.
Yeah.
People rail against Apocalypse, but it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad. It was a fine... I mean, it could have been longer. To me, when you're dealing with a character of that size, it should have been a two-parter.
Yeah.
you know, there's enough story to tell there with Apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, he is the great foil of the right. X-Men. Throughout the comics, he pops up every couple of years, and they have a huge story arc with him, and then they banish him again. But he is there. He's the Joker to the X-Men's Batman. He's always kind of there.
Right. Well, Magneto is the Joker to X-Men's Batman.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, Apocalypse is the one thing that can get them to work together.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's, you know...
Apocalypse is the dark side, quite literally, to the...
Yeah.
So, basically, Apocalypse is a continuation of that, of the X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
And it's very much in the X-Men franchise. Logan technically is within the X-Men franchise, but it's something to itself that they put enough of a year's gap, they said in 2029, right. where they could make it be a completely standalone thing. And did you watch any of Legion?
No, I have not had a chance.
Okay. And, you know, Deadpool's kind of its own standalone thing as well.
Yeah.
It's there. It kind of alludes to the X-Men being there. All of their periphery stuff that is not the main franchise has been excellent. Legion, the time frame is kind of ambiguous because you don't know what's going on in the real world and what's going on just in this guy's head.
Right.
So it might be 1970s. It might be modern day because you can't really tell. Yeah, because there's a lot of 70s style stuff, but that might just be the psychedelic nature of what's in his head. But it's amazing. It is very. I mean, basically the entire first season, you don't know if you're in his head or in the real world from moment to moment.
Huh.
And it is exploring that. And you know, Legion is David, who is adopted, and in the comics is Professor Xavier's son.
Right.
And he's so basically he's a high level mutant, and with mind control and schizophrenia. So you know, so it's kind of fun, in a very trippy X-Men beats Twin Peaks kind of way.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because my wife and I were trying to figure out we're at a point where all of our shows have ended.
Okay.
Like we're waiting on the next season of Dark Matter,
uh-huh.
which is like August.
Well, Legion is only 8 episodes.
Great.
It's one season right now. It's all on Hulu. The episodes are an hour or something each. I don't know how. It's back end cable, so they can stretch them out. It's not a short watch, and you have to pay attention. But it's there.
Yeah, we'll have to give that a shot because like we were watching the final season of Bones was our that's what we've been watching lately. That show has been sort of our relationship show,
and it's but over.
Like, anyway, not that relationship, but no, like we started.
We don't know what we're gonna do.
We started watching that show like when we first started like talking to each other again, dating. Yeah. Like I was still living in Charleston, you know, and then you know we watched the first couple seasons on DVD, which we still own. And then we picked it up together from season 3 and rolled with it.
Okay.
You know, all the way to the end. So now we're like, well, we need a new show to watch.
What do we do?
Yeah, and I want to get into The Expanse. I've heard it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I think we'll probably throw Legion on. Because it's, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty much unwatchable for me.
Yes.
Like, it's just, it's...
It's bad.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's not good. And, you know, and the CW-verse is a completely different feel. That's right now, that's DC at its best.
Yes. Now, I'll say, like,
but it is very CW. Really, I enjoy The Flash.
Yeah. See, my wife's been watching Supergirl, which she likes.
I enjoy The Flash. I can't get into any of the other ones. I know that they're all of the same quality. Yeah. I just, for some reason, I can't get into the narrative. If
she likes Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I've watched
gave it, like, 2 or 3 episodes.
I watched Arrow from the beginning, and I like it. You know, that's... But I couldn't get into the other ones.
Right.
Like, The Flash was okay. Yeah. Supergirl's okay.
But Logan, we should go back to Logan because there is a lot to talk
there
about.
There really is.
Yeah. And it's basically, it's a movie that you go in and it will just keep punching you in the gut. And it reminds you of everything you've ever done wrong in your entire life. And it just kind of hits you with it as you're hitting it with everybody else. Right. And it tears at you.
It is. Like I said, I've never.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an enjoyable watch.
It's an enjoyable hell in an hour and a half.
But it is. Two hours. Like I said, you're just not used to dealing with that kind of emotion from this genre.
Right.
You know, usually the superhero movies are, let's go in, let's not think too much. Yeah, let's just enjoy it.
You're going to see a lot of action flashing across the screen.
Right. No, this is gritty, almost like...
Well, and with Logan... They earn the rated R. They earn the R rating. There's plenty of gore and, you know, more than you would see in other superhero movies.
Oh yeah.
But you almost don't notice it because of the mental trauma that you're going through.
It's well, the gore is well placed.
Uh-huh.
The gore has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, almost like Deadpool where it was gore for the sake of gore.
Yeah,
that's his shtick.
It's the gore almost roots it in reality.
Yeah,
even more.
Yeah, it makes the movie very, very real
because you definitely get realism from the characters, and you add the blood, and it's like, okay, this is real. It's the blood and dirt.
It's funny because you called it Johnny Cash's Logan. When I watched it a second time, I renamed it No Country for Old Logan.
Okay, yeah,
like because it is very much in that gritty, heavy. You know, not a lot of fancy photography. I mean, it's just a very stripped down, hard hitting story, and it is. It's No Country for Old Logan. Logan has to go. You know, Logan's time has passed.
Yes.
You know, Professor X's time has passed. The time of the X-Men has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as somebody who's been watching this for damn near 30 years now.
Right.
That's hard.
Yes.
You know, well, damn. Now what do we do?
Well, what we do is we flash back because it's not 2029 yet.
Right. But it's going to be at some point.
Yeah. And this is Hugh Jackman's final Wolverine movie.
Right. Which is, and you know what? I gave him a lot of shtick and a lot of, grief for the whole Logan thing. Like the spinning off the Wolverine movies. I didn't like the first one.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, the first one was awful.
Yeah,
but it
my God.
It was not his fault.
Right. My God, how to finish the story.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That was great.
Yes.
You know, that redeems all of it. It's that line.
It almost becomes a watchable trilogy. Almost.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those, what's that line from Dumb and Dumber? How could you do such a thing and totally redeem yourself?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but that's what it is. It's like, my God, like, the Wolverine movies have just not been good.
No,
I've had to struggle to watch them.
No.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
Okay, at least you went out well. Yes.
Yeah. You went out like straight Godfather 3. Just boom. In and on a high note. Or you call it quits.
Yes.
But it, I don't know. Like I said, it's just, it is. You deal with a lot. You see a lot of your favorite characters die.
Mm-hmm.
It's Patrick Stewart. I mean, it causes you to deal with mortality.
Right.
In a way that superhero movies generally don't.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you're at all advanced in age while watching this, you're like, oh, crap. Yeah, I'm feeling old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I have Wolverine number one in storage somewhere.
Yeah.
I've been following this since 90-ish.
Yeah.
You know? So even before the movies, I was following the X-Men in comics a little bit. I wasn't hugely into comics, but I had them from time to time.
Yeah.
You know?
And I grew up on the X-Men animated series and,
Yeah.
A little bit of X-Men comics and all of that. So.
But, something they've always done with the X-Men movies has been to make it kind of... Yeah. This is the first time where you see Wolverine is depicted in the Wolverine comics versus the X-Men comics.
Yeah.
where, you know, you get like the Wolverine in the Savage Land, the Old Man Logan, these type of storylines where it is real and it is gritty and it is brutal.
Yeah.
And that's just where he is. And when he's not doing cameos with the X-Men, basically, because he had little, love triangle with Jean Grey or whatever, but he wasn't a focus. Yeah. He's been more a focus of the movies than he ever was
in comics. Yeah.
Which, because the comics was truly an ensemble cast, and you kind of feed on everybody, and then if you have an individual storyline, that goes off in another series.
Yeah.
You know? This is the first time they've captured the Wolverine from the comics.
Right.
As the comic readers would have wanted. Know him.
Yeah.
So it was very refreshing for a Wolverine comic fan.
Yeah.
Granted, he's still about 6 inches to a foot too tall. But he seems like a smaller man in this one just because.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the looming mortality and that is there.
Right, yeah. Right. One, I don't think Hugh Jackman's that tall of a guy.
He's 6 foot.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So he's average height.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's
entirely too tall for Wolverine. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, you're right, though. As somebody who's approaching middle age, what?
Yeah, you are.
I am. I'm approaching middle age. I don't know what I'm going to do for my midlife crisis. I haven't quite planned it out yet.
You already have a sports car, so what the hell do you do?
I've never not.
You've been perpetually in your midlife crisis since your teens.
Yeah, but that can't be a midlife crisis. I'll have to buy a nicer something. Fuck, I don't know. But yeah, no, it is. It's one of those things where it's like, and I'm dealing, because as you approach middle age, you deal with your parents getting older.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm at. I'm dealing with my mother getting older. Mm-hmm. And, she's realizing her own mortality, which is something that I'm also doing, I'm going along for that ride.
Yeah, and you kind of got that dynamic by watching Logan with Professor X.
Right.
He was the caregiver, keeping the old freaking weapon of mass destruction safe from himself.
Or at least, as contained as you can do.
Yeah, yeah, in his little Faraday cage freaking water tower.
Yeah.
Which, kept signals from outside out and his signals in.
Yeah.
You kind of got that caring for your aging parent feel.
Yeah.
For that first,
45 minutes.
Third of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
So it's the first third of the movie. So you get that, and then and you have these pre-existing attachments, and even if you don't, you get attached to those characters because this is the first time you've seen them
vulnerable.
As real people.
Right.
As
they're very not being vulnerable.
The shiny thing that Fox has pushed out.
Right.
Previously. This is the first time you see them as real. They're in a dirty, dusty setting.
Yeah.
It is gritty and it grounds you. This is not the X Mansion where everything is shiny and not real.
Yeah.
It's
they're in the real world now. When they're in the X Mansion, it is very much this is their place, their haven, their whatever.
Yeah, there's a blackbird in the freaking basement. Okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, not now.
No.
They're in the Mexican desert.
We're in the Mexican desert living in a freaking water tower that fell over.
Yeah.
And a little shack next to it. And if there was just a wall, then they could never have made this run.
Yeah, of course, because that's going to keep out Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
And Wolverine for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, it just... Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it causes you to deal with a lot,
And there wasn't a plan to set it up for a sequel, but it kind of does if they want to go that way.
Oh, yeah. No, you could spin off the girl.
Well, but the problem is they said 2029.
Right.
So unless there's a Cable or a Bishop involved, the next 23 can't be in the modern day.
Guess who's appearing in Deadpool 2?
Yes. I know, but I don't think it's already in the plans.
No, it's... and I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, there would have to be a time travel event, or we're setting up...
Which in theory could be great, because you could progress it along with actual time and perpetually keep it 20 years ahead.
Yeah, but...
Which would be cool.
Yeah, and if they keep it in line with this one, then they're not going to go super flashy future.
Right.
Which is a problem
with
future movies.
Absolutely.
We try to go too far. And granted, technology is advancing faster than, you know, it ever has in the history of the world.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it still needs to be rooted in
reality.
The gritty reality, yeah. Because that is always going to be.
Right. We don't need, it's 20 years in the future, flying cars.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, all this other
and
Fallout-esque bullshit.
Well, I'm interested in Ready Player One is in production. Really? It's coming out next year.
Nice.
Spielberg's doing it.
Really?
And the world for Ready Player One, the real world, is most of the population are in stacks of mobile homes.
Right.
And the world just interacts on AI.
Yeah.
But the real world is this
dystopian
shithole.
Yeah.
But most of your day-to-day interaction is done online.
Right. It's almost like because I read Ready Player One, let me borrow it.
Yeah.
It's almost the kinder, gentler Matrix. In a way.
In a way.
In a way. Yeah. I mean,
but we did it to ourselves.
Right.
You know,
Yeah. It's almost like a mixture of The Matrix and WALL-E. Remember WALL-E?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, everyone's just kind of, you know.
But it's very corporate greed at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
The corporations keep the people, you know, on their freaking AI opiate.
Yeah.
You know.
So that doesn't happen at all in the real world.
Not AI. VR. That's what I meant when I said AI.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, that's
wrong.
True. I just sort of knew what you were saying.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, listen to what I mean, not what I say.
Yes.
That's always the case here. Yeah, so I'm interested, you know, and that has that gritty real world undertone to it, but at the same time, they're going to mix it in with the VR excess, probably.
Yeah.
You know, where you have worlds that can be anything you want, so whoever built the world designs what it is.
Right.
And corporations build their own worlds for the most part. So
that
should be interesting. And Spielberg's doing it. So
I think it'll be, that should be really good. I have a lot of, I'm now very excited for that.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I mean, Spielberg's going to tell the story, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to pull punches. Well, he's not going to, Spielberg doesn't need the movie giants to really agree with him.
The one thing I don't like about Spielberg doing it, is he has openly said that he does not want to reference his own movies. He doesn't want to make it an homage to himself. But, oh my
there
God.
Are.
Yeah, because the book is filled with so many 80s references, and that's built into the VR, the game that they're playing. So they're gonna have to rework some of the 80s references, so Spielberg doesn't feel like he's paying homage to himself.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about E.T.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
So, yeah. So, I almost wish it was being done by another hand, even though I know Spielberg will do a great job with it.
Right. Well, and I mean, the reason why I said Spielberg was because I don't think, like, the...
Well, I mean, you can trust him with it.
Right. When the movie companies will have as much control over what he does.
Right.
He gets such a pass.
Yes.
Deservedly so.
Yes.
He gets such a pass that if he wants to tell it as it's written and fuck who it pisses off.
Yeah.
He can do it.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to say a word, but fuck, Steven Spielberg's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he is. So.
But as a whole, even Star Wars, we're moving towards grittier.
Yes.
You know.
Which is good.
We've had enough of the, Yeah, I guess we've gotten to the point where shiny and fake equates to CGI in our heads, where right. we kind of want a grittier feel to it, a more realistic feel to it. So, and where we almost are fooled into thinking it's not CGI, where Kylo Ren has
the lightsaber crackles.
Yeah, it has crackles on the edges. It's not a perfect.
It doesn't look CGI. Like a light tube attached
yeah.
to a.
Yeah, you know. It looks like it looks like this thing is real because it has kind of a flavor all its own.
Right,
and so we're moving more towards that.
Well, and I mean,
with
I
a little
think,
lens flare.
Front. I think that has a lot to. Yeah. When you bring them in, you know that's what you get.
Yes, yes.
But I think it also has a lot to do with us as a society. We're not as... We don't want to be bullshitted.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's...
We don't want to be bullshitted, but a lot of us are being bullshitted.
Right, we are being bullshitted. But, I mean, as far as movie goes...
Railing against being bullshitted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well. But no, I think that's really it. Like, we don't want... Like, we understand that... There is no perfect utopian, like,
right.
perfect superhero who's going to perfectly save the day. It's not a thing.
Yeah, Superman is bullshit.
Right. Yeah. That's why I never liked Superman.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, I think that maybe the calling card of our generation is that...
That's why Batman was so much better received.
Yep.
You know, after...
Like 1965.
After the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Batman has a better reception. And I'm not talking about the friggin' TV show, because that goes back the other direction.
Yeah.
But the Batman comics have always been grittier and real, and this is just a man with some money.
Right.
And some problems.
Yeah.
And
because mo money, mo problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, mo money and dead parents, mo problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. But it, yeah, but I mean, I think it's really it, and that's sort of the calling card of our generation, and, you know, whether we identify as Gen X or Gen Y or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we sort of both identify as both in a lot of ways.
No.
No?
No, I'm Gen X.
You are definitely Gen X. I'm so on the line that, fuck, I don't know what I am.
No, I am Gen X. Yeah. There is no line.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm 76. I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah, you're very much. 84 is sort of.
I don't have to worry about if I'm one of those assholes.
Yeah, I'm the taint generation. Like, I'm that little subsection of, well, we're not quite Gen X. We're not quite Gen
And I say those assholes. Or whatever. And there is no Gen Y. It's Gen millennials. X millennials, and that's it. Gen Y is bullshit. Gen Y is, we didn't know what to call them. Oh, they're millennials.
Right. But that was the thing. Like, I was around when Gen Y was a thing, so. Well, but I'm not a millennial by any stretch.
Right. Well, and, you know.
Said I fall into that taint generation. Like, and
everybody who blames the millennials for everything, the millennials are the way they are because of how Gen X raised them.
Yeah.
So if you're shitty about the millennials, you did this.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, side rant.
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah. But it, I don't know. But yeah, I think that's really it. Like, we don't want our superheroes to be perfect.
Right.
We don't want our worlds to be perfect. We know it's unattainable.
Right.
You know, and in some ways.
And it's almost, but the Marvel side still does the flashy, super produced. And the DC side is trying to be grittier, and people are gravitating more towards the Marvel side.
Yeah, but they've left enough like personal strife and issues, and, you know, when you have things like Civil War and you've got you know, other things, it's still shiny, but there is enough.
But if you supplement it with what Netflix is doing, other than Iron Fist, then you get that grit.
I hadn't thought it was that bad.
I've only made it a couple episodes, and I need to watch it just because I want to see Defenders in August.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's issues with Iron Fist, but, you know, he's the rich kid.
Yeah.
You know, every group apparently has to have one. They need to, somebody has to buy their supplies.
Right, yeah. Somebody's going to keep the Batcave stocked, you know.
Yeah, just like Justice League needs Bruce Wayne. Right. So, yeah. Right. So.
But I think that's it. I mean, but more, like I said, Marvel has left enough cracks, and they admit that, you know, they were willing to show the character flaws of their superheroes.
Right.
You know, sort of right offhand what everybody's problem is.
Yeah.
You know, and so they can play those problems off against one another and form cliques and alliances within alliances, and it's...
Yeah, yeah. And at least with that, you have... Everybody has a vice for the most part, and even Captain America's vice is... His vice is almost his purity.
Yeah. He gets off on being...
His purity doesn't fit in with the current world, so it acts as a vice. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's his drug, is being able to,
to be Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
And he plays off of that better than he would have in the past.
Yes.
Any final thoughts on Logan?
Your kid to see it.
Yeah,
I would say if you're under 13, 14, 15, I probably wouldn't go see it.
Right.
Just because you won't be able to understand the gravity of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be too heavy for you. You're probably not going to enjoy it.
Right.
You need a little bit, you need to have been scarred a bit by life before you can truly appreciate it.
It's Walking Dead level stuff.
It is. It is.
And I know some parents who let their kids, who let their kids watch Walking Dead, and if they can handle it, they can handle this probably.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know your kids.
Yeah. So, your call. But, for the most part, it's not going to be for kids. No. I don't care how big of a Wolverine fan they
are. It's not a happy, fun time film.
No. They're going to come out of this thing bawling.
And yeah. Go in having had a good day prior. Because if you go in like a bad mental state where you're already depressed and you're already like...
It'll help you work through it.
Will it, though?
My life isn't that bad. It could be a lot worse.
All my heroes are dead. Like I said, great movie. I'm very happy that I watched it a second time.
Okay, and moving on to next time, I'm gonna go ahead and book up the next two because I have stuff that I can do, and they're somewhat time sensitive. Next time we're going to do Horrible Girl and the Hot Messes How to Date a Severed Head EP, which just came out. They're a local band here, and they will be doing a tour at the end of the month, so we will kind of pitch that for them.
Cool.
And they're good people, and it's folk punk music, which is kind of fun. And I may see if we can get one or a multiple of them to talk along with us.
Be great.
So, talk to them instead of just about them.
Yeah.
We'll
bring them here and then we'll just talk like they're down the road.
Exactly.
You just sit there.
Yeah, we'll be very meta with it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Just correct us if we're wrong on anything. Yes. Yeah. Other than that, don't speak.
And it's not if you think we're wrong. We think we're wrong.
Right. Yeah. 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 And then
speak when spoken to.
And then if you want to go ahead and prep for the following one, Kubo and the Two Strings comes out on Netflix tomorrow.
Okay.
Which is a really fast turnaround, and I love this movie, and it's a lot of Japanese folklore.
Cool.
And I can talk for a long time about it.
Great.
So so next time will be Horrible Girl and the Hot Mess, and we will talk it. Oh, wait. No, I am Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram, and...
I'm the JNO on Twitter, that JNO on Instagram.
And now we'll talk it.
Frequency, you hold on. toast.